Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. That was Simon Peter's reaction. Certainly, he didn't. He was surprised at the amount of fish, but he had no way to expect it. So it's not surprising that he was surprised, but that he would consider himself a sinner because of it. I mean, certainly he didn't do anything sinful, but he was aware of the fact that there was someone special here. And this is what the Lord wanted them all to know, because he was about to call them to follow him. But actually, Peter was drawing some very broad conclusions from very little data, really, that he was such a sinner and that the Lord should depart from him. In fact, it was for sinners like himself that the Lord actually was there. If Peter had not been a sinner, nothing would have been taken place. Peter was always known for his impulsiveness. He was just an impulsive person. But Jesus had his eye on him, nevertheless, to lead his people and to follow after him, to lead them after he had returned to the Father. Peter is such a great model for us because he is so human and he is so out there. You know, you always know where Peter is and what Peter is doing. When he saw Jesus walking on the water, immediately he wanted to join him. He asked him if he could go out and walk on the water too, and our Lord said yes. And he did fine until he took his eyes off Jesus, and then he began to sink. He thought he was perishing. Well, we find that we do the same thing when we take our eyes off the Lord and allow problems in our lives to take the Lord's place. We begin to sink. And often we don't realize it until we hurt enough. And then we bring our eyes back to the Lord, asking him to help us out because we're not doing so well by ourselves. We too have a problem with using little data and drawing big conclusions from them. It happens to us all the time because we're human. But Peter went on being impulsive. When our Lord was with the disciples on the Last Supper, he said that he wanted to wash their feet. And Peter responded again impulsively, "You'll not wash my feet." And Jesus said if he didn't let him wash his feet, he'd have nothing to do with him. So then Peter wanted him to give him a whole bath. And our Lord said the feet were enough. This is so typical of Peter. There's a pattern there, you know. And then when he was arrested, Peter took out his sword and cut a man's ear off. And our Lord stopped him and said, "He who lives by the sword will die by the sword." And he took the ear and healed the man right on the spot. The people were in such a frenzy against him that they didn't recognize the miracle that had just taken place in front of them. But Peter, again, was impulsive. And then before, again, at the Last Supper, Peter told the Lord that he would die for him. He would do anything for him. And the Lord told him, "Yeah, you will you? Well, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." And then when he did that, he was swearing and everything. "Oh, I don't even know the man, you know." And he heard the cock crow. And then he was full of sorrow and came realizing the Lord's love for him and his love for the Lord, really. He was impulsive, but well-intentioned. Now, you could say, you know, with all of this, why didn't the Lord just pick someone else, you know, demote him and say, "You're not cutting it here. I'm going to get somebody who I can rely on." But he saw more in Peter than just those instances. After all, it was Peter, when the Lord was talking about the necessity of eating his body and eating his flesh and drinking his blood, everybody left him. I mean, his disciples went hither and yon because Jews weren't even allowed to drink animal blood, let alone human blood. And the Lord turned to him and said, turned to his apostles and said, "Will you also leave?" And it was Peter who said, "To whom shall we go? You alone have the word of eternal life." He said the right thing, right at the right time. Also, it's interesting that they all deferred to him. He was the natural leader. Our Lord called him to this, and he was the one that was going to carry on the church. And he did a pretty good job because we're here today, you know. But again, it is important to recognize that the Lord can do great things with us despite the quirks that we have. And we all have them, you know. We all have these weaknesses, and we tend to draw too big a conclusion from that. We look around the church today. We see all kinds of problems, and in the world as well, and it seems like we're losing, you know, all these terrible things happening. It's not enough information. It's not enough data. There's so much more, just as there was here. The Lord is in charge. We tend to forget that, and that's why I'm belaboring this. We tend to forget, all of us do. We tend to be taken up by what's immediate, and the fact that we don't see the Lord and we're not aware of his presence at all times, we assume that that's the way it is with him and us, that he's not that aware of us. But if he were not aware of us, we wouldn't be existing at any moment. He's giving us, he's creating us at every second. Every heartbeat is a sign of his love for us. We forget that. It's so basic. But we don't think about the air we breathe either. We can't live without it, and yet we don't think about it. We just go on doing whatever we do. Until we stop and think about it, you know, until there's a danger of our losing air or of our suffocating, then we think about air right away. And that's why we have crosses. The crosses in our lives remind us that we need him more than the air we breathe, and that he's responding to us all the time. He's as close to us as the air we breathe. We need to recognize how little our data is and how great he is. You know, Saint Faustina wrote that the better she got to know the Lord, the less she could comprehend him. That sounds like a contradiction at first, but it really isn't. The closer she came to the Lord, the more she realized how great he is and how present he is and how different he is. He's not just a bigger version of us. His abilities are beyond our ability to comprehend. And he has great things in store for us. You know, as far as he went in becoming human, he went pretty far. I mean, when he took on a human nature, he went all the way. No one has suffered the loneliness that he suffered when he was in the garden. No consolations, nothing. No one and hanging on the cross, all that he endured, you know. And yet, as far as he went to fully share our human life, he will share with us to a greater degree life with him in heaven. When we die, when we go to heaven, we will know him as he knows us. Think of that. He will know us. We will know him as he knows us. We will never know him as he knows himself because he's God. We'll never become equal with him, but we will share his divine life. We'll know everything. And we'll be at peace. We'll know a joy that we can't imagine here. But that God would raise us to such a level is something we don't think about. It's not something that just automatically comes. But it's a good thing to remember, because that's why he created us. That's why we exist, to share his life and to love as he loves. So it's important for us to recognize that the data we have isn't all that much. And the only conclusion we can really draw from it is that he is God, and there is no other God but him. And he loves us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.